My name is Jessie Ace. I'm part of a group of enabled warriors that you've probably never heard of. We're fighting back against our invisible illness and taking the dis out of disability. We don't give sympathy to our symptoms. They enable us to be the warrior that we are. If you ask doctors and nurses, they'd say what we're doing is impossible. But pushing the limits of our conditions is something that we have to break through every single day. We push the limits. We are mentally strong. We can do anything. The question is, how far can we push those limits? This podcast will give you the answers. I'm Jessie Ace, and this is the Disabled to Enabled podcast. Okay, let's get to the first part of our interview with today's guest. So this section focuses on the actual diagnosis, what their illness is, and how it affects our guest. Keep listening out for part two to find out how they coped and thrived afterward. And then in part three, listen out for today's guest's answers in the super quick secrets round. Or should we say not so super quick secrets round? Enabled Warriors, the next guest on our show, worked in environmental health before being medically retired at 28 due to a hypermobility spectrum disorder and POTS. Meeting misunderstandings and metaphorical brick walls when communicating about her conditions, she looked for ways to open vital lines of communication, whether with friends and family, colleagues, or medical professionals. During a hospital stay where her ability to speak was very limited, she discovered that stick men, combined with straightforward, simple written explanations, got the message across well. What started with a few cartoons about living with hypermobility and using them to fundraise for the Hypermobility Syndromes Association, it quickly developed into Stickman Communications, a company using stickman cartoons to break down the barriers and communicate positively yet realistically about a wide range of disabilities, conditions, needs, and symptoms. Her products, blogs, and talks are used worldwide by people with disabilities and medical professionals, and she was featured in the 2016-17 Power 100 lists of Britain's most influential people with a disability or impairment. That is awesome. She's chair of the Hypermobility Syndromes Association, and she's worked with other charities including Mind, WizKids, and POTS UK, and is also a contemporary dancer. Enabled Warriors, please help me in welcoming to the show the amazing Hannah Enzo, everybody! Woo! Hey Hannah, how you doing?
I'm all right, thanks. Thank you very much for the welcome.
You are welcome. How are you doing today? I hope you're well.
Yes, you know, well within normal for me, so this is good.
That is awesome. So let's jump straight into the first part of our interview by chatting about your initial diagnosis. Like, how did you first know that something was wrong?
Well, the penny dropped that something was wrong when I collapsed at work. As in, was stood talking to a colleague and then was like, I cannot stand up anymore, and kind of slid down the cabinet and curled up.
Oh, gosh.
And then like 10 minutes later, I'm like, no, still not moving, go away. And they're like, okay, I think this is ambulance territory. So that was the point where I actually realised this is really wrong. Mm. But looking back, I've always known I was weird.
Right, okay.
I was different to my peers. So you could argue that I've actually always known that there was something different, but it wasn't until I was in my 20s and things were quite drastically, my symptoms were out of control, that I actually realised this was a genuine condition. And that's partly because every time I'd been to the doctors as a child, as a teenager, I'd been told, you're attention seeking, this isn't, there's nothing wrong with you, you just need to run around more. So I knew that all these things that were different actually weren't different, which is quite a weird headspace to be in. But it does mean that you don't, I'm still discovering things that I thought were normal and actually is very, very symptomatic of my conditions.
Wow. So what kind of things are you recently discovering?
So one thing I discovered in uni was not everyone forgets where their legs are when they lie down.
Okay.
Apparently, I thought that was as a child, because I've got very poor proprioception. I don't actually know where my limbs are when they're relaxed.
Wow, that's fascinating.
I rely a lot on muscle tension. Yeah, so it meant that as a kid, if I was like had to go to bed and I wasn't tired, I used to play a game where I'd lie down and relax, and then forget where I'd left my limbs, and then I'd guess and see if I was right. Because I literally wouldn't know whether, like, my legs were crossed, straight, which leg was on top.
Wow.
No feedback at all from them.
That's so strange, isn't it? Gosh.
So, yeah. So there's lots of little things like that that you kind of think, well, it's always been normal for me, so it's always been normal for everyone. And
not always the case for a lot of things. So tell us a little bit more about what your conditions are and what that kind of means for you.
So I have what might be hypermobility spectrum disorder. It might be hypermobile EDS. Don't actually know. So basically, it's a condition where I've got hypermobile joints, which means they bend too far. So, for example, but they don't just bend too far, they're also unstable. So my elbows go sideways, my knees go sideways, not enough to cause massive dislocations, but enough to mean that if I'm trying to walk and I put my foot down at a slight angle, then my knees thrown out and I just kind of do an auto curtsy. And it's also very difficult to stay upright because I have to actively engage all my muscles to maintain a sensible upright. Mm. Whereas for most people, that kind of happens automatically because the ligaments hold them in the right place. It also then affects digestive system because that's made of collagen. So I almost certainly have a connective tissue disorder of some form. We just don't know what yet. Mm. So my bowels are extra stretchy, get bladder issues. My veins are extra stretchy, and that then means that my blood often pools instead of circulating as planned.
Wow.
So that's then caused POTS, postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. Which is where the automatic bit of my body system, so that's blood pressure, heart rate, temperature control, all that kind of stuff, is like a bit screwed. So for me, it's being triggered by this floppy veins, so the blood pools in them, and then, you know, when you get head rush when you stand up too quickly?
Yes.
So I get that from being upright,
right?
Because my blood's pooling instead of circulating properly. So I fidget a lot because then the muscle activity kind of sort of gets the blood moving and stops it pooling as much. I will lie down often throughout the day to try and get the blood back up to my head, and it basically means I'm permanently somewhere on the drunk scale. So it affects my ability to think, my ability to speak, my coordination. Mm-hmm. And of course, I've then got one condition where I need extra coordination to keep all my joints in line. And at the same time, I've got another condition that steals my coordination when I'm upright. Mm. So as a result, I use a wheelchair whenever I'm out and about, because it's just not practical to try and walk while tachycardic and with rapidly decreasing ability to stand. So it causes like stroke-like symptoms if I let symptoms build for long enough. For some people, they can faint a lot. I don't faint, but I get increasingly drunk the more I sort of push the symptoms, and I will end up looking like I'm having a stroke if I don't take steps early enough.
Interesting. So do you find that you get like judged quite a lot for that by people that don't understand?
Probably. I tend to approach life by going, right, this is what works for me, so it's what I'm going to do. Mm. And I've learned that if I do it looking confident, people might go, that's unusual, but she looks confident, so it must be like a legit thing, so maybe I won't judge.
That's a great way to be. I love that. Are you on any treatments right now?
I'm not currently under any sort of medical professionals and treatments is, you know, painkillers and things like that. But then most of it is sort of self-management techniques. So exercise, both to build the muscle so that my body can cope with its flexibility, but also to help manage the level of POTS symptoms I get.
Yeah.
So things like exercise, fidgeting, being very aware of body position. So if I sit at, like this at the computer, that will cause me, or basically turn my leg coordination off, because my neck's hypermobile. So yeah, everything affects everything else.
Oh goodness, okay. Sounds like hard work.
So yeah, it is a full-time job. I'm trying to manage it. And then I've also had to sort of build, so my life isn't, in a way now it's not severely affected by my symptoms, but that's because I've built my life in a way that really works for my body.
Mm. What do you think were the biggest challenges after your diagnosis that you kind of needed to overcome?
The first one was actually knowing how to manage it.
Mm.
Because it's not something that medical professionals were very good at communicating about.
Right.
So I had some who said, right, you're hypermobile, there's nothing we can do about it, go away and take painkillers. Mm. And that's not sustainable, because then you just need more and more painkillers and you get more and more falling apart.
Yeah, exactly.
And then there were other professionals who said, oh no, don't do anything if it hurts. And then you had other professionals saying, ignore the pain and just go and do everything. There's nothing wrong with you. Mm. And it's like, I don't know.
So you get a mixed reaction all the time from people who are supposed to know more than we do.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So finding the HMSA was like a really big thing in learning what to do, because then I was able to speak to people with the condition who'd sort of been there and done that, found a way to help themselves.
Mm.
And from that, I then started to learn to pace and learn to find how to exercise in the way that worked for me.
Mm.
It's very easy to exercise by just doing movements that you've been told might help, but actually they weren't actually helping.
No. So what kind of exercise works for you?
Personally, dance. Mm. And because it's about control and strength.
Mm.
And also the best piece of physio advice I ever got given was, when you can't do the movement properly and with full control, it's time to stop.
Right, okay.
So instead of then doing my physio, right, I've been told to do 20 reps, and by the final ones, you know, I can't control it, I injure myself, I wear myself out so much that I can't then walk to the loo afterwards. You know, I was in early days, I was in a right mess trying to find that balance. But when I got that piece of advice, suddenly it started to make sense. I was to exercise as much as my body could healthily cope with. And when it's like, no, this is a bit much, then I can stop. So, but then I can try and do some more exercise later once I've recovered.
Mm.
And that for me was much more effective. And also I incorporate a lot of, you could call them exercises, into my daily life. So when I make a cup of tea, I'll practice standing evenly on both legs with my core engaged. And when I pick up the kettle, because my elbows and wrists are hypermobile, if I make tea like I'm like a gymnast, so how they use every single muscle when they're doing a vault, I use that kind of mindset when I'm making a cup of tea. And that means, instead of causing myself injury every cup of tea, I'm actually training my body in healthy movement patterns.
I love that. That's just brilliant. And that's the very core mentality of an enabled warrior. It's about, like, not just saying, oh, I can't make a cup of tea because I can't stand up. It's about saying, okay, I'm going to make a cup of tea, but I'm going to make it work for me. And I'm going to see how, you know, I can kind of bring this into, you know, to kind of push myself to be able to make my body do what I want it to do in some way.
Yeah. And finding what works for me as an individual. It doesn't matter if no one else, if I look like a right ponce, I'm going, oh, I'm making a cup of tea.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
But it works.
Because that's how we all speak in England, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, the American listeners are now going, I told you they talk like that.
Only when we're taking the mick out of ourselves.
Oh, yes.
That means...
Go and have a cup of tea, darling. That would be wonderful. We often say that in our house, actually. Enabled Warriors, that's it for part one. In the next part, we will discuss the amazing things that our guest today has done since their diagnosis. Warriors, look out for part two. And if there is anything that we've spoken about so far that you can relate to, then please tell us in the comments and remember to follow or subscribe whatever you're listening today. Enabled Warriors, do you want to win a copy of the Enabled Warrior Symptom Tracker book for free? The Symptom Tracker book will allow you to track your symptoms, instantly spot triggers, and get the best care possible from your doctors. Dr. Gretchen Hawley from the MSing Link said it was brilliant for those with chronic illnesses to give their doctors more accurate information. Recording these nuggets of information can be a game changer in receiving the best care for you and your symptoms. Inside the book, you'll find everything that you need to live your best life with chronic illness. Have you ever sat in an appointment and couldn't recall when your symptoms started, how long they lasted, the date of your first relapse, how long you've been on medication? Oh, me too. It's so annoying. That's why I made these pages in the book to help with this. Do you want to find out what foods are triggering your symptoms? Great. That's in the book too. Do you wish that you could wake up feeling positive and energetic every single day? The daily sheets in this book will help you do just that. Enter the giveaway by going to www.mybookgiveaway.com and enter your details through the message on Facebook Messenger that will pop up. If you are impatient and you want one now, then go get your Enabled Warrior Tracker book from www.enabledwarriors.org/book. Both of the links are in the show notes, so go and click them there. And get in control of your chronic illness today and start living the life you deserve. Stay Enabled Warriors! Warriors listening, if you've enjoyed this episode and you want to win $100, leave a review on Apple Podcasts and tell us what you liked best. We'll choose one review at random each month to win $100. And after you've left your review, remember, go and click that subscribe button. Are you ready to fight back against your chronic illness and go from being disabled to enabled? Do you want to be an enabled warrior? Someone who's brave, strong, and confident, and someone who's ready to find a way to achieve awesome things despite a diagnosis? This is your invitation. Check out disabledtoenabled.com for articles and reviews to find out how you can become enabled too. Subscribe to the podcast to always be in the know. If you think this podcast is better than sleeping in on a Sunday, tickle that subscribe or follow button wherever you're listening. And make sure to share this episode with someone who needs some inspiration. Want to ask your questions to future guests? Make sure to join our Enabled Warriors tribe on Facebook and look out for our question posts. Before we go, check out Disabled to Enabled on Instagram for posts that tell it like it is. And remember, warriors, stay enabled.